I don't know what you had for breakfast this morning, but I had porridge. And do you know why I had porridge? Because it was only 2 degrees out this morning. My wife looked at the thermometer and saw it was 2 degrees. See, we eat porridge just about all winter long. And I've realized that it's not winter that matters. It's whatever the outside temperature is that she looks at. And then we have porridge. And I'm sure most of you have eaten your fair share of porridge throughout the years. And I'm not talking about Red River cereal, hot cereal, and I'm not talking about cream of wheat. I'm talking about oatmeal, porridge, real porridge, 9 days in the pot or whatever it is. But the chances are, if you've eaten porridge, you've probably got up like me a few weeks ago. I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago, got up, sat down at the table, the bowl of porridge was there. Now, we don't just have ordinary porridge. Our porridge either has cranberries in it or raisins in it and all sorts of seeds, and it's really good. But this one morning, a couple of weeks ago, I sat down and I took the first spoonful of porridge and I knew something was missing. Have you ever done that? And right away, what's missing? The salt. Now, some people don't put salt in their oatmeal, but right away, I knew that the salt was missing. The salt is what makes it taste so good. And a salt adds to the flavor of porridge. You know, in Jesus' day, salt was there to flavor things, but it was also there to preserve things because they didn't have fridges. And so when your meat would go rancid, it would rot really quickly. And so they would take the salt and they would rub it into the meat. And if they did that, the meat would prevent it from decaying and rotting. It would last a while. Jesus stated that we are salt. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. The first thing we need to notice in this verse is the very first word, you. You are the salt of the earth. The Greek here is, it uses an emphatic pronoun. In fact, maybe a better way of writing that statement or that first sentence is not you are the salt of the earth, but you and you alone are the salt of the earth. You and you alone. Jesus is not talking about our neighbor. He's not saying your neighbor is the salt of the earth. He's not saying Joe is the salt of the earth or Martha is the salt of the earth. He's not talking about some other Christian. He's saying you, we, personally, alone are the salt of the earth. Christians should be the salt of the earth. The earth that he's referring to is not the earth like the ground in that, but he's referring to the people who live on this planet. And he's saying, we're the salt to the people who live on this earth. And I think you would have to say, and would agree with me that this earth, this world, is in a process of decaying. And it needs salt to prevent it from falling apart, from going further down. It started decaying when Adam sinned. And all sinned. And that sin separates us from God. But Paul paints a pretty clear picture of how the world is decaying In Romans chapter 1 and verses 29 to 31, we read these words. Their lives, in other words, those in the earth, those in the world, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. Paul wrote that in around 58 AD. They're pretty bad people. They're not doing very good. But I think if you thought about it, and if we thought about it today, that things aren't much better now. In fact, I would think they've probably slid a further downhill. You just have to watch the TV, the news on the TV, or listen to the radio. I mean, drugs dominate our news. What's the biggest story in BC, in Canada, is overdoses on drugs. Violent crime increases. There's mass shootings and bombings. It seems like that many don't even think twice about life itself. It's no problem to pull a knife as a young person and stab somebody else. We often hear of people who've been murdered. And then there's the erosion of families. The divorce rate continues to increase. And what about the gender issue? I mean, we're supposed to tell our children that at a young age they need to decide what sex they want to be. And then, what does Canada do? They produce a coin to mark the progress, the 50-year progress of the LGBTQ people. They put a coin out and say, this is a good thing. We need a coin to mark it. There are scams which defraud the weak. And then there's identity theft, which is running more and more rampant. Dishonesty is at all heights. And in the midst of this world that's decaying, we are to be salt. We are to be that which prevents it from decaying. You know, salt is essentially different from whatever it's put into or put on. As the salt of the earth, we are to be different from the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. And we would say we are different. I mean, nobody murdered anybody last week. No one created any violent crimes. Nobody got involved in a mass shooting or a bombing or murder. Yet, we need to be different, not in just those things, but in the things which Paul was writing about. We must not be caught up in greed and hate and envy and quarreling and deception and malicious behavior and gossip, being proud and boastful. You know, as we become salt, we start to change things. So if we become salt in a conversation between a number of people, and that conversation is becoming gossipy, we become the salt that changes that conversation from going down that road, or hopefully we are. We are the salt when others see that we are not filled with that greed or hate or envy. We're the salt when people realize that we're not there for retribution or for our own interests. We're the salt when we live as Jesus lived. But Scott, the world out there is so decaying. There is so much evil. There is so much that's happening. What are we going to do? Well, do you know if you take a cup and a half of water and you boil it in a pot and you put the oats in, 3/4 of a cup of oats, you only need a very, very tiny bit of salt to take the bitterness away from the porridge, to change that porridge into a flavorful taste. We can be the salt which changes things. Are we going to change the whole world? No. But we might change those in our home or those we work with or those we come in contact with, maybe those in our neighborhood. They see a difference. They see how we act and they want to be changed. Along with salt, Jesus also called us to be light. Listen to what he said in Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. The issue that often arises when reading a statement like this is that when we read something like that in the Bible, to think, well, it refers to someone else, perhaps the first Christians. I mean, that's who Matthew wrote to back then. So maybe it just refers to the first Christians, or maybe it just refers to the Christians as a whole. But again, Jesus used that emphatic pronoun here. You and you alone are the light of the world. The Bible declares that the world is full of darkness and we are the light in that darkness. Well, let me relieve you. We are not really the light. We really can't be the light. Let me illustrate it like this. If you go out in the evening and it starts to get dark and there's lights around, you start to see many things like reflectors. And there are reflectors on the back of cars, on the back of bicycles. There's people who jog and they wear reflector bands. There's workers out there with vests on that got reflectors sewn on them. There's reflectors everywhere. And we know that these reflectors are designed to reflect the light that is shining on them. I mean, the reflector, I should have brought a reflector because it's not much good just if there's no light shining on it. But when the light reflects off it, you can see the person. Jesus declared in John chapter 8, verse 12, the first half of the verse, or the first portion of the verse says, I am the light of the world. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John states, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Jesus, God, is the pure and true light. There is not even a hint of darkness in him. There's not even a shadow. It's all light. He's all light. And now in Ephesians chapter 5 and 8, we read, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light." Jesus is in us. The true light, the pure light, lives within us. And that light is reflected from us. We're just reflectors, as it were. Sorry, don't think of yourself as just a big round red reflector, but we're reflectors, and we reflect the true light of Jesus to the world around us, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our families, to those we come in contact with. As we live out our faith in our communities, it exposes the darkness. Have you ever noticed that? I noticed a few nights ago, it was kind of interesting. I was sitting, or I was around the house doing some stuff, and it's getting, the daylights last longer, so we don't turn on the lights, and I'm doing different things, and not really noticing anything. We don't have any lights on, and then all of a sudden, Kathy turned on the lights in the living room where I was, and it was, whoa, it was pretty dark. It was getting dark. I didn't realize how dark it was getting. And that's where the world is. The people around us are living in the world, and they don't realize how dark it's getting. It's just the normal thing. It's the normal thing. Just watch any TV show. It's just the normal thing to be rude, disrespectful, to kill somebody. It's just normal. And that's the life they live in. It's not until someone who is living in the light, walking in God's way, walks into their lives that they really see the darkness around them. And we notice that. We can walk into a room and we can talk with people and they know us because we've been with them a number of times. And then all of a sudden they say something and they turn to you and go, "Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that." Well, why is that? Why all of a sudden do they know that what they said, they feel they shouldn't have said? It's because they know it's in the darkness and the light has exposed it for what it is. You know, when it's really dark in our house and sometimes I've forgotten something in the living room and I walk out there and I don't turn on any lights, my eye is drawn to where the television is. And the reason that is because there's all these different little lights on all the components. Red ones, blue ones, white ones. It doesn't matter. They're all there. But that's where my eyes go right away, right to the light. If we go outside and it's pitch black out, where do our eyes go? To the stars? Why? Because they're light. Or to a light in a house or a street lamp? Our eyes go to wherever the light is. See, the light does not only expose the darkness, it attracts. It attracts. It's no wonder Jesus said, "Our light will not be hidden. We will be like a city on a hill, which cannot be hidden." We came back from Abbotsford about midnight last Thursday night, and when we were driving down into Ashcroft, Kathy says, "Wow, Ashcroft looks huge. I mean, there was lights everywhere. You could not hide it. Jesus said, if we are salt, then we are to be salt. And not lose that saltiness. And if we are light, we are to let it shine. Listen to Matthew chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. If someone gave us a reflector for our bike, would we screw it on the top of the seat of the bike and then sit on it? I mean, that would be a waste. What point would that reflector be? It would be useless. And if we were going to go jogging, and I know you all jog after dark because I've never seen you jog in the daylight, so you must all be jogging with me after dark. I don't jog after dark. But if I was, I would have one of those vests with the reflective stripes on it. So if I put it on and then it was cold out and I put a sweat jacket on over top of it, who's going to see the reflection? When the lights shine, they're just going to see a black thing moving along slowly. Talking about myself here. See, in the same way, Jesus is saying, as Christians, it's ridiculous not to be salt and light in the world. The truth is, Jesus did not suggest that we be salt and light. He didn't say, well, Scott, I think it would be a good idea if you were salt or light to those around you. He said, you and you alone, Scott, are salt and light. You are. Not, he didn't say, I think it'd be a good idea. Would you please be salt and light? No, he said, as Christians, we are salt and light. We don't have an option. And as Christians, if we've been delivered from sin, who've been set free from a life leading to death, who've been delivered from darkness to light, wouldn't it be just natural to desire to live that out and be the salt and the light to others so they would see it? Jesus said, as we let our light shine, people will notice. They will see our good deeds. Yeah, that's letting our light shine, good deeds. We're talking to folks about Jesus, or just being nice. Those are good deeds. And if we do that, they will see the difference we are making in the lives of others. And what? Pat us on the back? Well, they might. But the truth is, it's for the glory of the Father. So people will say, see our good deeds and say, wow, that person serves a heavenly Father. We should glorify him. It's so the kingdom grows. Our lives are salt and light that cannot escape being noticed. There's an ancient legend which pictures the day when Jesus went back to glory after he'd finished all his work on earth here, after the death on the cross. He went back to glory, and when he was in heaven, Gabriel meets him, and he says to Jesus, Oh, it's so good to have you back. But now that you're back, Lord, who have you left behind to carry out your work? Well, Jesus tells him about the disciples and the little band of fishermen and farmers and housewives. It's called the church, he says. But Lord, says Gabriel, what if they fail you? What if they lose heart? What if things get too rough for them and they let you down? Well, says Jesus, then all I've done will come to nothing. But don't you have a backup plan? Don't you have a plan B? The church is it. There is no backup plan. There's nothing else, Jesus says. Nothing else, says Gabriel? But what if they fail? Jesus said, they won't fail, Gabriel. They won't fail. Jesus knows we won't fail. We are his people. And as we walk with him, we won't fail him. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're not called to be withdrawn from public life into a safe and cozy Christian circle. We're called to make a difference in our world that's full of decay and darkness. Our lifestyle of salt and light will bring glory to our Father. Now, I know most of you know this song, if not all. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine all around, wherever I live. How many have sung that song? Yeah, we all know it. It's a nice little song. It's a Sunday school song. Well, it's not really. Because I've seen crowds singing it. It needs to be more than just a nice little song. When we sing songs, do they come from our heart? Do we really mean when we sing this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine? I should have got Josh to do this morning. But do we really mean the words? Do we really mean that we're going to let our light shine? We're going to be the salt, and we're going to let that salt be out there. It has to be more than words. It must be the truth of our lives. Are you, and you alone, allowing your salt to flavor those around you? And is your light being seen by those in our community? There is no plan B. Jesus came to set us free. And he said, you're my plan. You are my salt. You are my light. Let it change those around you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our God. And I guess there are times when I'm just blown away that you would say to me that you are my salt. You are my light. You expect that. And so, Lord, may we live up to that. May we be the salt and the light in our homes, in in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our villages, no matter where we are. May we be the salt and light. The salt that may stop the decaying of our society just a little bit. May we be the light that shows the darkness. But most of all, may we be the light that shows the true light, and that people would find you and know you, that they might become part of your kingdom, that they might become salt and light. Lord, we thank you that you have no plan B, and that you see fit to use us. May you give us the strength to do what you desire us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.